First, there was the smell, the fragrance of burning cedar on the west wind. Then there was the smoke rising from great fires because of the numerous inhabitants. As the Dauphine bobbed within sight of land on an April day in 1524, Giovanni da Verrazzano saw the sea along the coast was churned up by enormous waves because of the open beach. In a letter to French King Francis I, he described a seashore completely covered with fine sand 15 feet deep, which arises in the forms of small hills about 50 paces high. Then came a forest clothed with palms, laurel, and cypress, and other varieties of tree unknown in our Europe. They gave off a strong scent, he added, not without some kind of narcotic or aromatic liquor. After sailing from the port of Dieppe on the English Channel, Verrazzano had arrived off the Outer Banks to give us our first description of a gentle Carolina spring day. The sky is clear and cloudless with infrequent rain, and if the south winds bring in clouds and murkiness, they are dispelled in an instant, and the sky is once again clear and bright. The sea is calm and unruffled. Spotting people on the beach, making various friendly signs and beckoning us ashore, the Italian captain of the French ship sent a small boat, but the pounding breakers made it too dangerous to land. One of the sailors jumped into the water and body surfed to shore, carrying some trinkets, such as little bells, mirrors, and other trifles. But when the locals tried to help him out of the water, he was seized with terror. They carried him to a sunny spot, took off his soaked clothes and built a huge fire, looking at the whiteness of his flesh and examining him head to foot. The ship's crew feared they would roast and eat him. Instead, the group warmed him by the fire, hugged him, and retreated politely to the top of a sand dune until the sailor made it back to the boat. Coasting north after this hopeful and auspicious encounter, the Europeans followed a narrow strip, an isthmus 1 mile wide and about 200 miles long, in which we could see the eastern sea from the ship. Verrazzano tried without success to find a safe passage through the isthmus so we could reach those blessed shores of Cathay. He looked west across the islands of the Outer Banks and saw not the Pamlico Sound, as we now know it, but a vast sea that he proclaimed to be the Pacific Ocean. It was, after all, what he was looking for. My intention on this voyage was to reach Cathay and the extreme eastern coast of Asia, but I did not expect to find such an obstacle of new land as I have encountered, he explained to the king, who had helped fund the voyage, adding, I estimated there would be some strait to get through. He surely had in mind Vasco Núñez de Balboa, who a decade earlier had crossed Panama and found the waters that led to China. A Florentine and contemporary of Machiavelli's and Raphael's, he named the isthmus Verrazzano and sailed on toward the north, earning posthumous fame as the first European to record his entrance into New York Harbor. But his much larger contribution to world history was in making the geographic gaffe of the century. Belief in this Carolinian Panama played a central role in leading the English to the Outer Banks 60 years later. You could argue that the American colonies and the United States are based on a single cartographic blunder. Verrazzano's patron proved too busy fighting a losing war with Spain to authorize a follow-up voyage, so the Italian turned to King Henry VIII across the Channel. To entice the monarch, he either presented or sent a detailed map and globe showing his discoveries. Henry, at the time, was more interested in divorcing his first wife and marrying Anne Boleyn, soon to be mother of Queen Elizabeth I, than expending scarce crowned funds chasing shortcuts to China. He did, however, give the Italians gifts, places of honor in his royal palace on London's western outskirts. Verrazzano was killed and eaten by Caribs on the less blessed shores of Guadalupe, before he could correct his error. But his imagined isthmus lived on within Westminster's walls.